Well, believe it or not, it was just at our last potluck when we began our summer sermon series about making our membership in the Lord's church meaningful. And we said that we'd go ahead and take the word member, which again, you remember, is you and me in the Lord's church, and create an acronym using each letter of the word member, and take each one of those letters and make a word or a small phrase, and that would be a different lesson. And remember that the M is for maintaining unity, and the E is for encouraging others, and the other M is for making a commitment, and the B is for becoming what you are. And last week, we talked about the second E in member, and that was eagerly submitting. And today, we're going to go ahead and wrap up our series by looking at the R in our acronym, member. And that R stands for relying upon God. Relying upon God. You see, if we really want to make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful, then we need to learn to rely on God and not ourselves. And that can be hard. Some time ago, I heard a really bad joke. Most preacher jokes bad, right? But it's about this guy from Australia, you know, the land down under, right? And he got himself a new boomerang for his birthday, and he spent the next several days trying to throw his old one away. And don't you know it? Every time he threw it away, it came back, you know? And he did it again. He threw that boomerang away, walked back, back in the back of his head, you know? So after a while, he just gave up on his new boomerang. And he kept on using the old one because it was simply too painful and too frustrating for him to try to get rid of his old boomerang. Now, I know that's a little bit of a corny joke type story, but think about that. There are Christians who have been Christians for years, maybe even decades, and they really want to live and walk with and for Christ, but their old life, their old boomerang, keeps going in the back of our heads. So no matter how hard we seem to try, our old nature seems to come back and interrupt our walk with Christ. And often we don't even know it's happening. It just kind of all of a sudden we find ourselves on this path again thinking, you know, I've been down this way before. All of a sudden things that we hope for, you know, for ourselves, for our family, or for a job, or for the church, just don't seem to be happening the way we planned it to happen. And you see, as soon as that happens, though, that's when we need to sort of step back and ask ourselves, is what failed something that God really wanted to happen, or is it something simply that we just wanted to happen? And in looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, it seems to me that he faced a lot of the same kinds of issues in his life too. From a recent study in the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, we know that Paul knew that he was called by God and commissioned by God to be the apostle to the Gentiles, Romans 11:13. But we also know, as we look through the book of Romans, like Bob is doing in the scent-free room next door, that in Romans 7, Paul's old nature would creep back from time to time in his life, and he faced many of the same struggles in life that we all face. You remember Romans 7, 14 and 15, right? Where Paul writes this, he says, I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do it. But what I hate to do, I do, you know? So you see, whenever we struggle personally, you know, from things from our old nature, we should remember that we're not alone. People have problems. Everyone has the same kind of problems. Because, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd see that we all deal with this boomerang effect and our old sinful nature coming back and bopping us in the head, you know. We throw it on out through the back window of our lives, only to see it come crashing back on through into the front window of our lives. And often, it happens at the least opportune time. Now, rather than just accepting that, though, there is good news. There is good news. There is a way out. There is a way to make our membership in the Lord's church more meaningful. And it simply involves making the very conscious decision to to no longer rely upon ourselves, but to rely upon God. And I know that sounds easy, and most of this stuff sounds really easy, but most of the things that sound easy aren't always that easy, and we know that, don't we? But that's why we have each other, His church, His body, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because while it is true that we live in a fallen and broken world where Satan prowls around like a lion waiting to trip someone up and devour them, right? 1 Peter 5:8. It's also true that as Christians, we have an advocate and a helper to guide and to keep us until that great day when He comes back again, when we're all finally with the Lord together. We have Jesus Christ to rely upon. And so in making our membership in the Lord's Church meaningful, we're going to take a look at a passage this morning that should be rather familiar to us, especially since we touched on a parallel passage to our main text today that we did last time we had potluck. Because after potluck, we had our little devotional service, and we looked a little bit at Mark chapter 6. And so today, our main lesson text is going to come from over in Matthew chapter 14. And while Matthew chapter 14 is similar to Mark 6, there are some details that are very different. And it's mainly those details that we want to go ahead and notice this morning to help us rely upon God. So let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And again, this should be rather familiar to us. Again, this is Matthew 14, verses 22 down through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," He said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You have little faith," He said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, you're the Son of God. Truly, you're the Son of God." An interesting passage. Again, we looked at a parallel passage over in Mark 6, last potluck afterwards in the devotional. But from our text today, we just want to go ahead and pull out three main points connected to our lesson today. And the first main point is simply that in order to make our membership in the Lord's Church meaningful, we need to rely upon God and get off to a good start. We need to rely upon God and get off to a good start. Let me tell you about a little story, and we're going to talk about a man that we're going to call Fred. There's no one named Fred visiting today, right? Okay, anyway, Fred. All right, Fred. Anyway, Fred always wanted to sail the South Seas. He wanted to get out to the islands. He wanted to go solo. He just liked the idea of sailing. But he didn't have a boat. So he would go ahead and save up his money and rent one from time to time, and eventually he became a really good sailor. Still, he just never had the money to get a boat and to go out and sail in the South Seas like he always dreamed. Then one day, Fred's boss asked him if he wanted to go ahead and sail his sailboat down to the South Pacific. Well, you know, Fred was floored. "Hey, this is a great opportunity." So he said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do that." So Fred's boss asked him to sail his boat to the South Pacific for him. And then when he got there, he'd have someone there to meet him at the dock, and he could fly back home. All right. So he's all excited at the chance. So Fred began practicing more and more and studying the charts and the maps. And as the day of his departure got closer and closer, Fred got more and more excited. He had become an excellent sailor, and he had the best training, and he would, you know, be sailing on one of the best boats that money could buy. Fred was all high as a kite on the day he set sail. He was eager to go. Fred was off to a good start. Now, like Fred, who is like Peter, really, we as Christians also often, we want to do something good for God, you know, but we just can't seem to get a good start, you know. And all of a sudden, doors open and opportunities present themselves, and we get all excited because God is asking us to serve Him in a way that interests and excites us. It's like when we first became a Christian. Do you remember that? For some of us, maybe it was decades ago, you know. But you made that decision to confess Jesus as Lord and repent of your sins and be immersed in the watery grave, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, just like Paul writes about in Romans 6, 3, and 4. And then when you came up out of the water, a new Christian, you were ready. We're ready, you know, to take on the world. We're anxious to get started. Nothing's going to stop us, you know. There ain't no stopping us now. We just got it on fire. There's music in the background. Disco. You're ready to go. So we burst through the gates with all the energy and enthusiasm of a two-year-old that just had a really great nap. And in looking at our text in Matthew 14, there's one thing for sure about Peter. He's definitely good at getting things off to a good start. Peter is clearly a man of deep and abiding passion and conviction for Jesus. Just look at the text. Peter was a man who just wanted to get moving, right? When it came to the kingdom of heaven, really when it came to anything to do with Jesus, he didn't want to be left behind. Didn't want to be outdone. He said, I'll do anything if it has to do with Jesus. Just let me go first, you know? Look at verses 25 through 29 again. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, right? They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. And then look at what Peter says, right? He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Think about that for a second. He wants them to go out on the water. He says, though, in verse 29, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. That's incredible. You see, here in our passage, we find Peter all filled with the momentum of his faith. When Jesus walked out on the water up to their boat, Jesus, you know, just look. Look at the disciples. Look at the other disciples, right? They're all huddled in fear. You know, they're all crying out. There's fear in their hearts, and their jaws are like hanging down to their wobbly-bobbly knees, you know, and they're, it's a ghost. But Peter's hopping around like a little puppy, right, saying, hey, you know, just master's come back with a bone or something. Ooh, Jesus, let me go walk on the water. I'll go first, you know. He's got his hand up. He's ready to go. Think about it. The momentum and power of Peter's faith was evident, so much so in that Peter never had a doubt. Never had a doubt about getting out of that boat. I'd have a doubt. I'll be honest, you know. But you can just kind of picture him grabbing the edge of the boat, throwing his legs up over the edge of the boat, and just getting out there onto the water. Incredible. Now the point is, though, Peter was filled with faith and momentum, and he immediately got out of the boat and began to walk on the water when Jesus called him. You see, when we rely upon God, we can get off to a good start. And we do, usually, don't we? Don't we? You know, say, yeah, God, I'm going to do that. I rely upon you. We get off to a good start. But then the question sort of lingers around. We have to ask ourselves, you know, where are we now? You know, you remember that zeal? You remember being like Peter? Yeah, I'll get out of the boat, Lord. I'm coming to go. I'll go see you, all right? Remember the rush and the momentum and the exhilaration of that moment of faith that we've had? It's a feeling that we could just go out and save the world. I got the gospel. I got the Bible. I'm going. Send me, Lord. Here I am, right? It's an awesome feeling to have. And I like to think that we've all been there at one time or another in our walk with Christ. I like to think that we're still there, you know? Sometimes we call those times mountaintop experiences, right? And we've had them when we've gone on retreats or gone down to lectureships or up to Tahoe or whatever. You see, it's those times, right, when we remember, we're encouraged, and it occurs to us, hey, I'm saved. And we remember that Jesus has called us to serve him. And when we come to remember those things in a very tangible way from whatever experience we're having, you know, we tend to be a lot like Peter then, don't we? We're all on fire and we tend to want to just jump over the side of the boat. Choose me, Lord, I'll do it. And these are great times. They're spiritual highs, like being high up on a mountaintop, which is why we call them mountaintop experiences, right? But as someone who's had those mountaintop experiences, there's one difficult problem with the mountaintops of life. We can't complete our journey that God wants us to do if we stay on top of that mountain. You're just up there, you know, that's high, you know. You see, we have to live our life in the world, but not be of the world. We need to be the salt and the light of the world, of the earth, Matthew 5, 13, and 14. We need to influence the world for Christ, and we can't do that hanging out somewhere on a mountaintop. We have to leave those peaks and begin to walk down the mountainside to where God needs us to be. You know what happens to a Christian, though, when they leave the mountaintop? You remember when Moses was up on Mount Sinai? And he experienced the glory of God, Exodus 19. And then he came down inside in Exodus 32, only to discover that the Israelites had forgotten that it was the Lord who had delivered them, and that Moses had gone up on the mountain to bring back the word of God to them. What were the people doing? They're living in sin. And boy, did that bring Moses right on down. Well, when we leave our mountaintop experiences, we also begin to descend, so to speak. And the more we descend down the mountain, the less we can see of the mountaintop. And the more we're surrounded by the sin of this world, the harder it gets. And so we tend to get a little anxious and we get fearful. And the momentum that we had not too long ago slows down even more, almost to a complete stop. Well, that brings us up to our second point, and that is, in order to make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful, we need to rely upon God when we lose our momentum. We rely upon God when we lose our momentum. Now, I know that almost sounds a little backwards, but follow me here for a minute. Look back at Matthew 14 again, this time in verse 30. The Bible says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink." You see, when Jesus first came walking up beside the boat, Peter was filled with faith and momentum, right? So much so that he literally jumped right out of the boat to walk on the water to see Jesus. But then we see that his strong faith didn't survive what was next, because we quickly see Peter's faith and momentum lose its steam. And all it took was one look at the waves and the sea rolling around him. And because of that storm, you know, Peter quickly began to lose that momentum and faith. That momentum and faith that brought him out of the boat in the first place just kind of went bleep, 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 bleep. Can't you just see Peter all confident in the beginning? You know, he's looking over his shoulder at the other apostles in the boat. They're all huddled up. Oh, we're afraid. He says to the others, "Hey, I'm going to go walk out on that water. I'm going to go to the Lord," you know. He's all full of confidence and everything and assurance. He takes his few steps out onto the water filled with all the momentum of his faith in Christ. And then this wave comes crashing down on him. He gets wet. He starts to feel soaked and heavy laden, you know. And Peter falters and he trembles at the weight of this wave. And all of a sudden he gets cold because his skin is wet. The wind's blowing all around him and he starts to tremble a bit, you know. And at this point his fear sets in and all that faith and momentum that got him out of the boat begins to fade again. He starts to go down. He's sinking, you know. Well, you remember our friend Fred? Of course you do. Good old Fred. Well, he's out on a sailing trip. He's enjoying life and things going fine, you know. Great weather. Things are just beautiful. Perfect blue skies. Smooth water, you know. And while he's out on the water, he just finds it so peaceful and relaxing. He kind of dozes and falls asleep, just kind of going with the waves, you know. little bit later, though, he's rudely awakened to the smell of smoke. The boat's on fire. He's going to have to abandon ship, but before he can get off the boat, get into a life raft of some sort, the boat explodes. Fred later wakes up floating in the ocean, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and the boat, gone. There he was, all alone in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with absolutely no means of contacting the outside world. If he had a cell phone, it's down on the bottom of the ocean somewhere, okay? I don't care what sort of waterproof thing you think you got, it's gone. Okay? And it was at this point that Fred begins to think that it might not have been the best decision he ever made to go sailing on the South Pacific, you know? Well, the night came and went, and the next morning Fred washes ashore on some deserted island. Gilligan's not there, or the professor or Marianne. They're on some other island. Still trying to figure out how to use a radio, but anyway. He's there on this deserted island by himself, totally waterlogged and terrified of what had just happened to him. It was the worst day of his life, you know. Well, Fred managed to build a hut, and he put all that he had salvaged from the wreckage into this shelter. And being a man of faith, he began to pray to God to deliver him. And each day, he anxiously scanned the horizon, looking out there to hail a passing ship. Well, one day after hunting for food, he was once again horrified and terrified as he came home to his hut in flames. Everything he had was gone. Everything that he'd saved was gone. It was all in the hut, and it's gone. There was nothing left. And now this was the worst day in his life. So how's it going so far today for everyone? You know, did your hut burn down? You know? Anyone ever been where Fred is? I think, you know, I've never been on a deserted island, but there are times that we do get down, you know, and we get disappointed that we just don't know what to do or where to turn. Things happen in our lives, but we think again about Peter's situation. Have we ever been so blindsided by something so big that it just knocked us off our feet? Sadly, when that happens, rather than looking to the Lord and relying upon Him for that needed boost, or to our brothers and sisters in Christ for that needed momentum boost, we simply find ourselves losing heart after the storms of life come crashing down into us. But that's when we need to remember the promises of God. Joe read part of this, I believe, this morning in the Lord's table communion meditation, John 14:1, right? Where Jesus reminds us to not let our hearts be troubled, but to trust in God, trust also in me. Trust in Jesus. You see, the Lord Himself goes before you, and He'll be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. That's Deuteronomy 31:8. You see, our membership in the Lord's church becomes meaningful when we realize that our strength and our courage and our purpose comes from the Lord. And it's also at these times when it's important to remember that in the Lord's church, in His body, you know, that's you and me again as Christians, we're here for each other. 1 Corinthians 12:26 and 27 comes to mind again. And I know I've read this before, but it's one of my favorite verses. But the Bible says if one part of the body, that's us, you know, suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're here for each other. You know, if we choose to remain isolated when we're down and out, and then turn around and blame the church for never helping us out, how in the world can anyone help anyone without knowing that there's a problem? Now, I know someone could argue, well, hey, the body should know that I'm having problems. But we all know that we tend to keep things hidden, don't we? We keep things hidden from each other. How you doing? Oh, things are fine. Not really, but things are fine, you know. Well, think about it. How can we pray for each other? How can we help each other or anything like that if we keep our problems to ourselves, keep it a secret? You see, if we need a momentum boost, we can get it, and we can make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful, but only if we make our needs known. Just think about our faith journey. You know, we came up out of the waters of baptism, all on fire for the Lord's church and all on fire and filled with faith that could move a mountain, right? You know, we're all buoyed up all by the momentum that we have in Christ as our focal point of our lives. Our momentum was high and our faith was strong, and we felt like we could do anything that the world gave us to do, that God wanted us to do. Yes, pick me, just like Peter. Just like Peter with his "I ain't afraid to serve the Lord at all" attitude, you know? "I ain't afraid to sail solo" attitude, just like our buddy Fred. So we too say that we're not afraid. We're not afraid to serve. And we throw ourselves into a project or a ministry, and then all of a sudden there's that wave that comes out of nowhere and crashes down upon us. And spiritually, we're knocked off our feet. And spiritually, we're all soaked to the skin by this wall of trouble that's just overwhelmed us. And so we try to get back up on our feet by ourselves, back on track. But it's at this point that we begin to notice things that we've never noticed before, things that maybe make us doubt the church, or worse, doubt the Lord, you know, things that make us wonder why we're doing what we're doing, you know. So spiritually speaking, we begin to see all the trouble around us, and fear begins to overwhelm our hearts, and doubt, and our faith and momentum begin to wane, and we begin to sink. And that's exactly where Peter was as he began to sink in the Sea of Galilee. That's exactly where Fred was as he stood before his burning hut on a deserted island, thousands of miles from any kind of help. And that is exactly how we feel when the enemy attacks us or the storms of life overwhelm us. We feel like we're sinking and that there's no hope, that there's no rescue. Well, that brings us up to our third and final point for this morning, and that is, in order to make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful, we need to rely upon God by refocusing our lives. We rely upon God by refocusing our lives. We need to refocus on Jesus all the time. It's something that doesn't happen once, but all the time. Need to refocus. Back to Matthew 14. Let's read again verse 30 down through verse 33. Bible says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me!' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you're the Son of God.'" See, back in verse 30, we see that Peter was, he was at his wit's end, you know? It's like, he's sinking, right? He's sinking fast in the wave of a storm. Now, I'll admit I've never been out in the sea much, much less in a storm, but I have watched The Deadliest Catch. Okay. So I've got some experience with my remote. But so while I've never been there, I do know this. The sea is a scary place during a storm. Of course, you could always click over to the cartoon channel when that happens, but anyway. Storms, though, on land are a different thing. Think about the difference, though, because when a storm happens on land, you know, we can almost always find shelter somewhere. Now, maybe you didn't build a tornado shelter, but that's okay. You could find somewhere to go run and hide, somewhere, I don't know, anywhere. But a storm out on the ocean is totally different. There are no mountains to block the wind, no trees or anything. The force of that storm on the ocean is incredible. There's nothing that's going to block those winds or waves. Now, Peter's not out on an ocean, but he is out in the middle of a lake in a storm with no land around. So it seems to me that we can appreciate just a little bit why Peter was so scared. He's going to drown, okay? He was sinking. He was desperate. He knew he had no hope of saving himself. So finally, rather than try to save himself, he remembered, "Hey, I was walking to Jesus. Jesus is right there. Hey, Jesus!" You know, he refocuses for a second. He gets his attention back on Jesus. He says, "Lord, save me!" Wow. I wonder if he never lost sight of how things would have worked out differently. But still, that's what makes this great, because this is real, you know? And it happens to us, right? We need to refocus and remember that we're walking toward the Lord. He's, "Save me!" Now, there's one thing that we can be sure of. Life is not easy. You know, fairy tales and books and stories and movies try to make it look really good. You know, maybe for others it's easier for some than for some others. But we all have troubles. We all face storms in our life. And during these storms, it might seem impossible to survive. We might feel incredibly overwhelmed and maybe even terrified. But the truth is, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, the waves will eventually come crashing down. So the point is that in order to make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful, we need to always remember our focus. Always remember our focus. We need to constantly refocus sometimes because things distract us. You know, we need to always refocus our eyes on Jesus. And no matter the storm, he will guide us and deliver us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 come to mind, where we're encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the hand of the throne of God. Consider him, the Hebrew writer writes, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Think about Peter again. He was exuberant in his willingness to jump out of the boat and walk to Jesus. But when the waves came crashing in, he lost his focus quickly. But to Peter's credit, he realized where his focus needed to be. And he refocused himself on Jesus. And he cried out for Christ to save him. And Jesus reached out and saved him. And to make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful, we need to remember that Jesus is always there for us too. Because there are times in our lives when we think that we're left high and dry. And that the world is coming down all around us. And so we lose our focus in our walk with Christ. But like Peter, we can refocus our lives back upon Christ. And he will be there to pick us up when we need him the most. So what about our friend Fred? We don't want to forget him, right? Well, poor Fred, you know, he stood there in front of his burning hut with this totally sinking feeling, to borrow an illustration from Peter, this totally sinking feeling that his life was over. It's just gone. So he curled up a little ball on the beach, and he just cried himself to sleep on the cold beach, cried himself to sleep all alone. Well, don't you know that the next morning he was awakened by the sound of a foghorn and the sight of a small boat coming toward the beach. As the crew arrived on the shore, they told Fred that they had seen a signal fire the night before and sailed all night to get there. Fred's focus had been changed. Because what he had thought was inevitable death, God had turned into a renewed life. God can do that for us too. So we're left with the question of where we are personally today. Are we excited and exuberant about serving God? Is our faith and the momentum of our faith leading us to get out of the boat to serve Jesus? Of course, maybe today there are some of us sitting here and we're going through some major changes, some difficult times, changes that might be scary because we're, you know, so deep down in the valley that that mountaintop view is far away from us. Well, know this. We can make our membership in the Lord's church meaningful when we rely upon God and get off to a good start and rely upon God when we lose our momentum and rely upon God by refocusing on Jesus. Well, with everything, it's been my hope and prayer that our summer sermon series on making our membership in the Lord's church has been meaningful to us. I'd like to close with a very brief story that seems to sum things up nicely for us today and then offer the invitation. It's about a young father who really wanted to do his best to teach his son everything. It seems that one evening he was watching his little boy out the kitchen window. He's playing in the backyard, his little 7-year-old boy playing in a sandbox. And as the boy played, he would go ahead and move some pretty large rocks around the sandbox, even move some of the larger rocks out of the sandbox. There was, though, one very large rock that gave this boy just, you know, the time of his life. He couldn't seem to do anything. He'd move it to the edge of the box, but he just couldn't get it over. He tried and he tried and he tried. All of a sudden, the rock came back and pinched one of his little fingers. Well, of course, the tears started to come down. His dad's there watching this whole scene. And the dad walked out, of course, to his tearful son. He asked him what the matter was. And his son told him about this heavy rock in the sandbox and how he couldn't move it and how life was just so terrible. And then the father asked the boy, well, why didn't you use all of the strength that you had? The little boy replied, I did, Dad, I did. The father replied, no, son, you didn't. You didn't ask your dad. And with that, the father reached down, and together he and his son removed the rock from the sandbox. You see, some of us might be sitting here thinking that all is lost, you know, and that God has left us out in the cold, that life has been so unfair that we're about to go under for the last time. It might be financial, it might be relationships, who knows what it is, it might be a job, you know. But the message today is that if we simply rely upon God and focus our attention on Christ and call out to him today, he'll reach down and pick us up. He'll reach down and pick us up. Remember that everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13. So if there's anyone here who has yet to confess Jesus as Lord, repent of their sins, and then be immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of their sins, just like the first Christians did in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then won't you do that today and begin relying upon God? Maybe there's someone here who's in need of encouragement from the church, from the body of Christ, in order to continue relying upon God and make your membership meaningful in the Lord's church. You can go ahead and come forward and seek prayer. Of course, you could always choose to come forward and share your needs. You're welcome to do that always, but if you prefer, you can always visit with one of our elders at your convenience for encouragement. So whatever the case may be, if you need to, please come forward now as together we stand and sing the song Isaac has selected.